Blog Talk Radio.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. You've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. When there's a better life, there's a better life.
If you got pain,
He's a pain taker.
If you feel lost,
He's a way maker.
Freedom,
saving.
Yeah, fear.
If you got chains, we all search for the light of day in the dead of night. We all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We all run with things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life.
To Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today the interview is with Mr. Charles P. Wilson of the NABLEO. He has been on Show Talk with Angela Butler, the National Association of Black Law Enforcement Officers. He's one of the leaders of the organization, of the chapter. We're going to talk about a discrimination case that was brought against a police department, I believe, in Maryland. Am I correct, Mr. Wilson?
Yes. NABLIO just recently issued a press statement in regards to that particular case, and we are supporting the officers involved in that lawsuit.
All right. So you're supporting the officers involved in the lawsuit. Can you say their names? Are you not allowed to?
We are and we're not. It's one of those tricky situations for us right now.
Okay, we're going to another question.
The officers involved in the principal officer involved in the lawsuit is Lieutenant Sonia Zollicoffer. She is a black female officer, highly experienced, and the treatment that she's being given from her agency is, in our view, racist and discriminatory.
What are they doing that's racist and discriminatory? Would you say some of the things that they are doing?
Sonia had been involved in, she previously worked in internal affairs. And during her time in internal affairs, she was investigating a case regarding two white officers that acted inappropriately and unprofessionally. She recommended that both of those officers be terminated. She was overruled, and then when she found that there were certain parts of the videotape that documented the case was missing, she asked to see copies of the tape. And that's when they decided that they were going to further discipline her. As it stands right now, she's subject to lose her job, lose her pension. And she's being denied her proper due process.
Her proper due process, okay. So they're discriminating because of a case she was investigating.
That's correct.
Because she's a black woman.
That's the only way we're able to see it.
Yes, sir. Are there any other lawsuits being filed that you know of in your organization?
Oh, there's a lawsuit that's been filed in St. Louis, Missouri. There is a case that's pending in Chicago. There's one other that I'm not at liberty to discuss at this time.
Yes, sir.
You know, actually, there's two others that I'm not at liberty to discuss at this time.
Have the police ever considered a class action to black law enforcement officers, or is that not allowed?
I'm sorry?
Has your organization ever considered a class action, or is that not allowed by police
officers? We have,
officers?
In fact, previously been involved in class action suits. What you'll find is that the vast majority of times that black law enforcement officers have gained any formative progress It has been because of various lawsuits. Those lawsuits have ultimately led agencies to change their recruiting processes, change their promotional processes, make significant changes in the way that they conduct or give out duty assignments. And in some ways or forms, they have done, they've created situations where the agencies have been required to pay penalty fees to the officers. There's two other cases going right now involving female officers, one out of Buffalo, New York, and one out of Warrensville Heights, Ohio. The one in Warrensville Heights, the court has recently indicated that the officer, that the city is required to reinstate the officer's workman comp benefits, and we're looking to get her pension restored. The one in Buffalo, the city enacted legislation that substantiated her lawsuit last year, and she's now in court waiting for a judge to vacate the ruling that got her fired so that she can recover her pension.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yes, we have, unfortunately, been involved in a number of lawsuits.
Okay. All right. Today is the anniversary of Miss Breonna Taylor, a one-year
yes.
anniversary of her death.
Yes.
Do you have anything to say about that?
I would say to you that while it is gratifying, if you will, and I'm not certain that that's a correct word to use, but while it's gratifying to see that her family is being given that type of settlement, what everybody has to recognize and accept, money is not going to bring Breonna Taylor back. Okay?
No, sir, it won't.
And there still is no sense of accountability that has been shown in that particular case. The same with the George Floyd case.
Yes, they were awarded $27 million.
They gave his family $27 million. $27 million is not going to bring George Floyd back. Okay, what we are now having to look at is what result will come from the trial. Okay, while everybody obviously hopes for a conviction, okay, trials can be trials can oftentimes not come out the way you want them to come out.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so people need to understand that.
The defense is saying that it was drugs that killed Mr. George Floyd.
Yep.
I saw that on the news.
Yep. So, you know, we we're waiting, just like everybody else is, to see what the result of that trial is.
All right. Okay. Black law enforcement officers, what is friendly fire? Because I was watching YouTube, and this police officer, this black police officer, he sued for friendly fire because he said they deliberately shot him. Could you explain that to me, please, exactly what is friendly fire?
Friendly fire?
The definition of it? Yes, sir.
Friendly fire is for all intents and purposes, you got shot by one of your own police counterparts. That's essentially what friendly fire means.
Yes, sir. He's saying that the white officer deliberately shot him. This was last year, and I was wondering if you knew anything about it, or if you cared to talk about it.
I will tell you that, yes, it has happened before, okay? I will tell you that the instances that I have seen of it and that I'm personally aware of, the black officer did not survive. Okay, with the exception of one that I'm aware of. The other three that I know about did not survive the shooting.
Okay.
And they're not the only ones. Okay, those are just the ones that I personally know about.
Who's the DA, the district attorney of Maryland?
In Maryland?
Yes,
I'm not sure who the attorney general is in Maryland. In fact, if you'll hold on a second, I can tell you.
I have a question.
Yes.
So, as long as you have been a
Brian Frosch is apparently the Attorney General for the state of Maryland.
Officers. As long as you've been an officer, lieutenant, and on up the ladder, way up the ladder, and now I'm retired. What is it, the main thing that black law enforcement officers want to see change?
We want to see the system be more transparent, more accountable, and you know, we have to police the same areas that our counterparts do. The problem for us is that people look on us as being part of the problem as opposed to being of the solution. Okay? We know that we police significantly different from the way our counterparts do. We treat people differently. We look at the job differently. You know, and we have a better understanding, I think, of the failings of the system we work within. So we have a better understanding of what needs to be done to correct the the problems of the system. Okay? We know that there has to be reform in policing. We know that. And we know without any uncertainty that reform is and will come. People are not going to like reform. Okay? Because what's going to happen is they're going to have to look at not just the way that police do their job. They're going to have to look at how police officers are hired. They're going to have to look at how they're trained. They're going to have to look at the unions. You know, and that's all a part of that concept of making the relationships between police and community better.
All right. Do you believe that police officers, majority of them, should be from their own community in which they live?
If what you're asking me is, should police officers live in the communities they work in? I'm going to tell you yes. It has a definite impact, okay? Because when you live in that community and work in that community, you have a greater stake in what happens to that community. Now, I will tell you that of the various members of our organization, the vast majority of them work in communities that they live in or that they grew up in or they went to school in.
Find it hard to believe that a jury is actually going to find the officer guilty in killing Mr. George Floyd?
Don't know. People are obviously hoping that that's the that will be the end result of that trial, that there will be a criminal conviction. While, and even if there is a criminal conviction, unsure whether that will be a satisfactory conclusion for people. We just don't know.
So, Mr. Derek Chauvin.
Yeah, but it's an absolute certainty
that is on trial. Mr. Derek Chauvin is. That's who's on trial for his alleged murder. He has not been convicted.
That's correct. You know, just
so
like everybody else, black, white, and indifferent, when you go to court, you're presumed innocent until found guilty.
All right. Do you believe that an all-white jury is a jury of someone's peers if they are black?
No. In this day and age, there should not in any case be a jury that is not fully diverse racially, gender-wise, and ethnically. It just should not happen.
I agree. I agree. Okay, in your opinion, if someone goes to prison and they return from, when they get out of prison, they're released, they've served their time, they did their crime, did their time, do you believe that their voting rights should be automatically restored, their civil rights? Because here in Florida, under Governor Scott, when he was governor, you had to go to him practically, or his staff, and ask for your voting rights to be restored individually.
If I'm not mistaken, Florida voted a couple of years ago to restore voting rights to people who had been in prison.
Yes, sir, they did.
Now, they're still arguing about it. But my understanding is, you know, the bottom line is that they, if they have, the bottom line is that if they have served their time, and that there's no other encumbrances, then yes, they should be able to vote.
Yes, sir, I believe that too. And I believe it should be throughout America, all 50 states. I personally believe that.
Yeah.
I also personally believe that they should be allowed to vote when they're in prison also.
Not so certain on that, but you know,
okay.
It's something that people are talking about.
Yes, sir. I put you on the spot. All right. So, what's next? What are you doing next to help people, to help other law enforcement officers, to help society in general, or within your organization? What else are you doing?
Well, we're distributing information to our membership about mental health issues. The 23rd of this month, we're doing an open webinar on financial fitness. We're prepping for our conference this year. We are seriously hoping that we'll be able to hold our annual conference and awards dinner in White Plains, New York, in October.
Okay.
You know, and that's an event that's open to the public. Anybody and everybody mm-hmm. can register to attend.
I know this might not be in your orbit, but what do you think about the NAACP suing Mr. Donald Trump and Mr. Giuliani?
Go for it.
Under
Go
the Ku Klux Klan Act. Go for it.
Go for it. Yeah. And that's not my organization's attitude and opinion. That's my personal opinion.
They put him on the Ku Klux Klan, a Civil War era statue.
Yes. Yes.
So, how do you feel about COVID? Not how do you feel, how are you coping with COVID?
Just had my shot, my first shot last week. Get my second one at the end of this month. Uh, you know, and trying to ensure that everybody else that I'm close to or involved with is able to get out and at least register to get their shots. You know, it's important that, and particularly in our communities, okay, it's important that we participate in that process. I'm sorry?
Some people are afraid to get the shot. There's been so much information put out there on the internet,
yeah.
Some of it good and some of it bad.
Well,
people won't.
What I would tell people to do is every state has a formal information center that's taking care of all of the information regarding the COVID vaccines and whatnot. People need to make contact with those entities. Make sure that they're able to register to get the appointment to take that vaccine shot and go get it.
Some people are saying that they like to wait and learn more about the shot. Wait a little longer before they get it, even though they're eligible for it. To see what more information comes out about it. Because they haven't done enough research.
I mean, what information are they waiting
feel
for?
Feel that way.
You know?
Well, some people in the South bring up the experiment in Alabama on the gentleman, and they infected them with herpes, and they spread it to their wives.
And you know, that's well understood.
Some people in the South have some misgivings. They're not certain. And some of the
people need to get that shot.
Are not getting the shot. They're not going to.
People need to go get that shot.
Yes, sir. All right.
People need to be wearing their masks.
Hardly no one wears a mask here. Well, I'm at. I do. My family does, but
yeah.
Other people don't.
Well.
All right. Okay. So thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Thank you for talking about COVID with me, COVID-19, the coronavirus. Thank you for giving your opinions and telling me what's going on with Black law enforcement officers and your organization. I look forward to having you back, Mr. Charles P. Wilson.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're more than welcome.
Yep. Bye.